eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to podcast episode number 95, being recorded on June 21st of 2007. Well, I've been listening to quite a few podcasts over the summer vacation. I do try and do a daily walk in the morning and listen to a couple podcasts then, and then when I'm on the road a little bit, I try and listen if I'm driving or if I'm kind of working a little bit at school, I'll listen to a couple. And one of the podcasts that I found recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, is by Ben Wilkoff. He is a 7th and 8th grade language arts teacher in Colorado, and his podcast is entitled Discourse About Discourse. And I really enjoyed listening to it. He's doing some great things with his students as far as Web 2.0 tools. He's got some great plans next year for doing some things with the laptop initiative in his classroom, and really enjoyed listening to some of his kind of questions and pondering the whole changing face of education. And I listened to his podcast from June 19th, which is entitled The 1.0 to 2.0 Transformation. And basically, he, at the end of the podcast, or during the podcast, talks about really what is the difference between a 1.0 classroom moving to a 2.0 classroom as far as using the web tools and things. And he kind of openly asked the question, if anybody has any feedback, about what they perceive as being the difference between 1.0 and 2.0 or even like a 1.5 classroom. And I listened to that the other day while I was taking my walk, and I thought I'd kind of comment a little bit on my podcast about his question and actually kind of answer the question with a question. I know that we're not really supposed to do that a lot, but I just wanted to kind of discuss how I'm thinking about Classroom 2.0 and then kind of throw the question back to Ben a little bit. First of all, congratulations to Ben. Also, he's just been named the Totally Wired Teacher of the Year by Edutopia magazine. And if you listen to the podcast, you know that I'm a big fan of Edutopia magazine. So congratulations to Ben on that. And as I was sitting back and looking at the aspects of Classroom 2.0, there's one question that's really been kind of rattling around in my head, and that's kind of comes back to what my personal definition of Classroom 2.0 is. And when I actually sat down and began to write what I think the definition of Classroom Web 2.0, I think of it in two aspects. The first one, that there are multiple resources at the immediate disposal for students and teachers, so that we're not relying just on a textbook. We're not just relying on the physical information that's in our library on site in our school. And so the first part, again, immediate access to multiple sources of information. And then the second aspect that I think really transforms a classroom from 1.0 to 2.0 is giving the students and the teachers the ability and the tools to immediately create and produce different types of learning projects, whether that be a new type of media like a podcast or a video or a wiki, podcasting, all kinds of different things included with new types of media. And so when I think of Web 2.0, I think of the immediacy of information at your disposal, and then also having the tools to then reach the higher levels of bloom and to begin to take that information and that content and actually then create something with it. And I've tried to do that in my classroom as much as possible. I've been blessed with quite a bit of technology here in this district. The building that I'm in is actually only 3 years old, and there's wireless connections throughout the building, so anywhere you have a laptop, you can reach the network. I do have an overhead LCD projector that's on my ceiling and projects onto to a large screen. And in my classroom, I have one computer, and so we don't have a one-on-one initiative right now in my classroom where every student has a laptop or a computer. When we want to do a project of some type, we have to go and reserve lab time. And as I'm sure most teachers listening to this have the same situation in their own buildings or their own districts, it does get pretty tight as far as being able to do projects and things. And we do try and do quite a few projects. My students, for example, created a video TV ad for Abraham Lincoln for the 1860 election. So we spent about a day and a half in the lab doing that. We've done some podcast type projects. We do some online simulation games. I try and have the students do some creation as far as doing some things with blogs. We did a book blog project that I've talked about quite a bit on the podcast. But my main question as far as kind of finding a difference between 1.0 and 2.0 in the classroom is it required to fully reach the 2.0 level? To reach that 2.0, do you need to have the one-to-one ratio with students so that each student has a laptop every day when they walk into your classroom, and they can take that laptop home, they can take that laptop to their study hall, they have constant connections to the internet, and they have the ability to create those things like podcasts and videos and different types of media projects, things like that. And so when I look at my own classroom, I know the term classroom 2.0 is used quite a bit. I think that I'm probably at about a 1.5 or so. Everything that I do as far as either a blog or, you know, we do study casts and things, they're all things that are basically enrichment to the curriculum. So if my principal is to walk in today and say, Eric, great news, we just found out that we're going to become one-to-one, or we're going to pilot a project and you're going to be one-to-one in your classroom, every one of your students is going to have a laptop and it's going to be theirs to have 24/7. If that happened today, I would probably change the type of curriculum that I teach to include more types of projects and bring in a much richer type of resource as far as information. And I don't have that right now. I've been blessed. We're in a very nice school district. But everything that I do as far as technology, I have to think about, okay, I have to try and understand that some of my students might not be connected 24/7. That might not have access to a laptop. So how can I make this project, or how can I make this this thing that we're doing be an enrichment so that it's not a deterrent and it doesn't hamper the students that don't have a laptop or don't have access at home? So I come back to the idea, I really think to get to a 2.0 classroom, you need to have that one-to-one ratio so that the immediacy is there for students. They can use the computer whenever they want to, and they can also have those tools for creation at their disposal. So I don't think I'm fully at a 2.0, and I don't know if I can really get to a 2.0 without having the one-to-one ratio. So then that brings back the whole question, okay, if we agree, if we as educators, and I know that we're kind of in a limited scope as far as the edu bloggers and the edu podcasters and things like that right now, but if we as educators look at the tools that are available to us today, and we universally agree that, yes, it would be helpful if students had a computer, if they had a laptop. I know there's been some discussion with some of the reports out of some of the schools in New York and things, but I think that most of us can agree that it probably would be an advantageous learning environment if each student had a laptop and the teachers were trained properly on how to implement that into their curriculum. If we can come to that consensus, then at what point in America is there going to be a tipping point where having a school that goes one-to-one is not unusual or newsworthy? At what point does that happen? And is there going to be something that creates a tipping point where we kind of suddenly change our classrooms from a 1.0 to a 2.0 environment? So what is that tipping point going to be? I mean, is it going to be when eventually laptop computers come down in price far enough that educators start or principals, administrators start looking at curriculum resources and saying, hey, you know, a textbook for one class might cost $50 or $60. We're looking at a student in junior high maybe taking 6 or 7 different classes. If we got that content online, if we got that content in, you know, CD-ROM or whatever, if we could load it to a laptop, if we're looking at getting a laptop for a student, kind of a stripped-down model for, what, $300 or $400, we're spending more than that in textbooks, which eventually will basically, you know, be cost prohibitive compared to the price of a laptop. Is that going to have to happen? Or is something like the one laptop per child project eventually going to kind of wake the United States up into saying, hey, you know, we need to get these tools into the hands of our students if we want to prepare them for the 21st century? You know, is that a tipping point that's going to happen in the next couple years? And where does No Child Left Behind fit into this whole thing? I mean, when you look at the amount of money in the United States that's spent on just basically meeting students' needs to prepare them for that high-stakes test. And that is an incredible amount of money. And I don't know how you could ever come up with a figure on that when you look at the resources and the time. But, I mean, that is an incredibly large part of our budget, I think, right now, is preparing students for No Child Left Behind and gearing the entire curriculum towards that high-stakes test. Where can we find the money not only to buy the hardware with the laptops, but also to train our teachers on how to use these tools effectively? And this scares me. I mean, I really think that we're coming to this divide or this fork in the road where school is becoming one thing, in reality and real life, and what you do after school is becoming another thing. And so eventually we're going to get to a point where people are beginning to say, hey, this whole formalized education is not preparing us for what we're actually going to be doing for the rest of our lives. Why are we funding it? Why are we putting all this time? Why are we putting all this effort into it? So I know, you know, Ben's talked about that next year they have about, I don't know, like $30,000 that they've got for laptop implementation in his classroom. Is that what a teacher has to do to be able to get the laptops? And I applaud Ben for writing that grant. I mean, he has great passion, and you know, we see these things happening throughout the United States. Our district is looking at going one-to-one on our new high school that's going to be built in about 2010. So I think that eventually that one-to-one will trickle down in our district to where I teach at the junior high level. But at what point does that not become the exception and one-to-one in most classrooms in the United States becomes the norm? And that's my main question, I guess. What's the tipping point? Can we actually get to 2.0 without having a one-to-one ratio? And if so, how is that truly possible? Because those are things that I think about, especially in the summertime as we're getting ready to prepare a curriculum. I love where I teach, and I want to teach here for as long as I can. But I do think that if we had that one-to-one ratio, my entire curriculum would be a little bit more dynamic. It would be different than what I'm teaching now. I'm still tethered somewhat to the textbook. Now, I use that term loosely because we use the textbook as a way to obtain some of the core information that we need to discuss and create other things with. I kind of tell my students, or I use the analogy sometimes, you know, we're getting the ingredients from the content, but then the things that we can create are as varied as our own imagination. If it's a commercial for Abraham Lincoln in 1860, if we're doing a podcast debate on the Donner Party like we did and emailing it to experts and getting feedback and things, I mean, we can do a lot of different things, but we need that core content first. So I'm kind of tied to the textbook yet as far as getting information, and then what we do with that information is more of the Web 2.0 application. But again, it's only an enrichment right now in my classroom. It's not the standard that we do every single day. I would love to have my students come in with a laptop and say, okay, all right, guys, today we're working on that project. You know, Sally, you're working on that podcast that we're sending over to the students we're working with in Australia. Bill, you're doing a great job on that video project, that documentary on Lincoln. I'd like to see your progress on it today. And we're talking to another group about, you know, their creation as far as a wiki that we're going to use for a course coming up in a couple weeks. I would love to be able to have those discussions. I just don't have the lab time available, and I don't have the ability to get my students on computers every single day. So a lot of questions, I guess, to answer that question. But I'd love to hear anybody else's feedback on this topic. You can either post a comment directly onto this blog entry, or if you'd like to just send an email to me directly, I'm available at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So thanks for listening. Lots of stuff to think about, and I would love to hear other people's opinions about this topic. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.